Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, I wonder if you could turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to read from chapter 11 as a kind of introduction to what we'll be thinking about in a minute or two. But Luke chapter 11 and verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he, that is the Lord Jesus, began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Verse 32, we're going to miss out verse 31, down to verse 32. "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now that's an introductory reading. I'm going to go in a minute to just to the book of Jonah. It's Jonas as we have it here in the New Testament. Because of the translation from the Greek, it's Jonah in the Old Testament, and we'll go there in a minute. I wonder if you saw the video clip that the BBC put out through the week there, entitled "The Man Swallowed by the Whale." I'm sure thousands of people thought that's just a fairy tale. But it was recorded. One of these things that could have been put on YouTube and said you wouldn't have believed it unless it was filmed. But it was recorded. And the whale took the man into its mouth. I don't think it went right down into it, but it spat it back out again. And people are amazed. And yet you speak to people and you talk about Jonah and the story about the whale, and they say it's a fairy tale. Never happened. Couldn't have happened. Impossible. These are the things that people say about it. Well, I read from Luke's Gospel. For this reason, if for no other reason, the Lord Jesus himself, when he was speaking to this called a company gathered thick together, a multitude of people, and the Lord Jesus spoke about Jonah. So the Lord Jesus believed in Jonah. And he believed, well, he is God anyway, isn't he? But he believed what we have recorded for us in the Old Testament of our Bible. You see, people don't want to believe these things. They don't want to accept what God has said. They don't accept the Bible. Isn't it interesting that the country we live in used to be called Bible-loving Scotland? And yet nowadays people would hardly know what was inside the covers of a Bible. Gone are the days when children were taught it in school as a matter of the curriculum. But Jonas was true. And Jonah's experience was true. And the Lord Jesus, as he's speaking to this people, he calls them an evil generation. And would you allow me to say it, that I don't think this generation that we're living in is any different. You see, this generation that the Lord Jesus was speaking to, they didn't believe. They were unbelievers. They didn't believe. What did they not believe? They didn't believe the Lord Jesus. They didn't believe the words that he spoke. They really didn't believe in God. And so does that make a parallel between that generation and where we are today? Oh yes, it does. Don't believe. Don't accept. Don't have faith. That marks the generation today. And so I've read this just to show that the Lord Jesus spoke about this. What he said was, when he spoke about Jonah, the people were looking for a sign. You say, well, what's a sign? Could I just call it a sensation? We're living in a day of sensations. You know, the media can hardly put out a story without having to sensationalise it. In fact, they'll twist it and they'll add to it and they'll take from it and put out a story which is a sensation. That's what we want these days. That's why social media is what it is. Because people can sensationalise things. And the people in the days of the Lord Jesus, they were looking for a sensation. They wanted him to do something spectacular. And their idea was, if they saw something spectacular, they would believe. Well, they didn't. They didn't. And the Lord Jesus had to add this. The men of Nineveh. That's the men that Jonah preached to. He preached to the men of Nineveh and they repented. And they believed the word that Jonah spoke because he spoke about the judgment of God. And they believed. And what the Lord Jesus said here is, he says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And he says, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Who were they looking at? They were looking at Christ, the Son of God, as he moved amongst them. And he said, these men will rise up in judgment. Did you know that there is a judgment day? So I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's a day of salvation. And the Bible says that's now. But the Bible also tells us there's the day of judgment. The day of judgment. You know, when Paul was preaching in the city of Athens, he was in the high court, really, because that's what Areopagus was in that day. That was the high court of the land. And Paul, as he was preaching, he said this, that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Do you know what that means? That means in the calendar of God, he has already appointed a day. I don't know when that is, neither do you. But God has in his calendar a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness. There is judgment. There's a day of judgment. But there's a day of salvation. And we're glad to tell you that. There's a day of salvation and that day is now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I'm going to turn back to the book of Jonah. Now you can turn back with me if you will. Or if you just want, I'll be making reference to some of these scriptures as we go through. But when we come to the book of Jonah, there's three groups of people in the book of Jonah. In chapter 1 of Jonah, there's the mariners. They're the sea salts, as they call them. The sailors that were in this ship, hardened, experienced sailors. And they're in this ship that Jonah's in. And then in chapter 2, we have Jonah himself. And then in chapter 3, we have what we've already referred to, and that is the people of Nineveh. Three groups of people. Jonah himself formed the middle group. He was just an individual, but I've just called them groups. And you know, each one of these groups had something in common. The first group, the mariners, what did they need? They needed to be saved. What about Jonah in chapter 2? Jonah needed to be saved. When we come to the men of Nineveh of chapter 3, the people in the city of Nineveh, what did they need? They needed to be saved. Can I say, just as we approach this, everyone needs to be saved. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't meet God's standard. We're all sinners, every one of us. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But it adds this, the gift of God is eternal life. Wages is what you deserve. A gift, you don't necessarily deserve it, but it is offered to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the Bible also tells us this, that it's appointed unto men, that is mankind, that's not just males, it's appointed unto mankind to die. But after this, the judgment. So here we're back at judgment again. So when we look at these three groups, each one of these needed to be saved. The mariners, what did they need to be saved from? They needed to be saved from the storm that they were in. I think it's quite easy to understand that this storm was phenomenal. I think this was a storm that they had never, ever experienced before. The ship was almost filled with water. And if you understand some of the reading of this, it speaks about it was very tempestuous. And the idea in it is it was growing in its ferocity. These men were terrified. They needed to be saved. They were experiencing a storm, the likes of which they had never experienced before. And why was that? Well, it's very simple. It was because of sin. It was because of sin. Their sin? Not necessarily. It was because of Jonah's sin. Jonah tried to run away from God. He told them that. He told them that they had tried to get away from the presence of God. And because of Jonah's sin, God sent a storm into the sea. And you know, these men could have said, why us? Why us? It's nothing to do with us. Oh yes, it is. But you know, the people today are still like that. Why do I need to be saved? Why am I a sinner? And that's very simple. The answer to that is very simple. The Bible says this, by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. What was the problem here? One man's disobedience. Jonah was disobedient. He disobeyed the word of God. He went against what God said. And because of that, there was the storm. These men needed to be saved. It tells us in chapter 1, we don't have time to read all this, but it tells us in chapter 1, these men began to cry unto their gods. Now, I don't know, it doesn't tell us in this what their gods were, but they were crying unto their gods. They were doing their own thing, you see. It also tells us in this that what they were doing was they were casting out the wares of the ship. They were trying to make the ship lighter. They were trying to generate their own salvation. That's nothing new. There's many people today and they're trying to generate their own salvation by whatever means. Living a good life. Giving to charity. Doing the best you can. There's some people who read the Bible and think that that'll just, that's their salvation, reading the Bible. The problem with sin is, like these men, we can do nothing about it. These men couldn't generate their own salvation. They couldn't bring it about. They couldn't bring it about. Despite what they tried. Then they speak to Jonah. And they ask Jonah, why is this? And Jonah says, well, basically, I'm just paraphrasing it. Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven that has made this, the sea and the land. And the men ask, what shall we do? It's a good question, isn't it? What shall we do? You know, there's a man in the New Testament. Oh, he was a big man. He had a powerful position. He was the judge. Pilate was his name. He said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You know, I can hardly think about that verse and think about that question and think like this. If you take Jesus out the question, it becomes this, what shall I do then? You see, what will you do if you leave Jesus out of the question? These men said, what shall we do? And there are many more in Scripture who asked a very similar question, what shall I do? Maybe in a different way, what must I do? The jailer at Philippi, when he spoke to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? A very simple answer, and it's still relevant today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. These men had to take Jonah up and throw him into the sea. And you know the very interesting thing about this? The sea was very tempestuous. It was such a storm, and it was growing in its ferocity. And you know, these men, after they cried unto the Lord, they took up Jonah and they cast into sea. And it says this, the sea ceased from its raging, an instant calm. Isn't that amazing? An instant calm. You know, after a storm, the sea can take a day to settle. This was an instant calm. I love that. Do you know what it tells me? You come to Christ and confess your sins, there's an instant calm. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. An instant calm. Salvation brings a change. It did in these men. Salvation brings a change. Do you know what? If salvation doesn't bring a change, there's no salvation. It must bring a change. And these men found the change. What about Jonah? Jonah needed to be saved. What was Jonah? What did he need to be saved from? Jonah needed to be saved from the depths to which he went. You see, God prepared the fish to swallow Jonah. That man the other day there was taken by the fish and spat out almost instantly. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Was it pleasant? It wasn't pleasant. If we read his prayer in chapter 2, he says this, out of the belly of hell cried I. That's what Jonah needed to be saved from, the depths to which he went. I'm glad to say this, you don't need to go to the depths that Jonah went to know God's salvation. But Jonah cried. And do you know what he said? He said, salvation is of the Lord. That's the only place for salvation. The Lord. Peter, when he was preaching in the book of the Acts, he says this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. That's the only way by which we can be saved. And that is through coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. That one who bore the judgment for sin upon the cross of Calvary. That one who shed his blood, laid down his life, at the place called Calvary as a sacrifice. Only he can give salvation. Jonah cried. These men cried. Jonah cried. I think we could infer out of chapter 3 that the men of Nineveh cried. What does the Bible say? It says this: whosoever shall cry or call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel says that in his prophecy. Peter said it in his preaching in the book of the Acts. And Paul writes about it in the book of the Romans. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jonah called on the name of the Lord and he was saved. And so he could say, as he discovered, there is no other way. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Do you know the miracle in Jonah is not the fact that the whale swallowed Jonah. That's not the miracle. The miracle is this, and the fact that the whale took Jonah down into the depths of the sea and he was kept alive for 3 days and 3 nights. That's the miracle. Because God had his hand upon Jonah. And Jonah came to this. He understood that salvation is of the Lord. And the whale came up and spat Jonah out onto dry land. Jonah was saved. These mariners were saved because they were obedient to what Jonah said. And it says this, that they made vows unto the Lord. There was a change in these men. There was a change in Jonah's situation. There was a change in Jonah because he went to preach to the men of Nineveh. What about the men of Nineveh? What was Jonah's preaching? Did Jonah preach about the love of God? Not a bit of it. What did Jonah preach? This was his message. Very, very simple. And he just repeated it over and over and over again. And his message was, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was Jonah's message. The judgment of God was going to fall upon Nineveh. They had 40 days. Do you know, I couldn't guarantee you the next 10 minutes. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I can't guarantee you 10 minutes. But I can say that now is the accepted time. But the thing about it was these men repented. They repented. Even from the very king to the beast of the field. They repented. And they fasted. And they sat in sackcloth and in ashes. And God heard their word of repentance. And it says this: God would turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. It was quoted in prayer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. God turned away his fierce anger, and these men did not perish. They were saved. Three groups of people that needed salvation. Do you know, I was thinking about what John says, what it says in John's Gospel concerning the Spirit of God. It says this: the Spirit of God convicts of sin. We have that in chapter 1. Jonah's sin, the sin of disobedience. Not any great gross sin, just the sin of disobedience. And it was the sin of disobedience that brought sin into the world. It was one man's disobedience. But the Spirit of God convicts of sin and of righteousness. Now, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Jonah recognized that God was righteous. And he was the God of salvation. And when we think of chapter 3, Jonah preached judgment. And so the Spirit of God is in the world today. And it convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And there's a scripture which says, flee from the wrath to come. If you don't already have salvation, you need it. If you're not already saved, you need to be saved. And you need to come to Christ. The words of the Lord Jesus himself was, repent and believe the gospel. Now shall we pray. Amen.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.